Imagine for a second that humanity pools all its resources, right, to build this incredibly advanced supercomputer.
Right, the ultimate machine.
Exactly, a machine that can, you know, model protein folding or solve the mysteries of the universe, cure diseases, all that. And what do we actually do with it?
Probably something entirely trivial.
Yeah, we basically just use it to play tic-tac-toe while our house is literally burning down around us. Welcome to the Deep Dive. It is late March 2026, and the tech world has just proudly, loudly declared the arrival of artificial general intelligence.
AGI, it's a massive, massive evolutionary leap in computing.
It really is. Yet, sitting right alongside this digital miracle is this glaring, persistent, almost embarrassing human failure.
It really is the ultimate paradox of our time. And the foundation we have to establish right up front for you looking through the stack of sources we have today is that we are absolutely not failing because of scarcity.
Right.
That is a deeply ingrained myth we need to dispel immediately. The Earth, right now, produces enough food to comfortably feed 8.2 billion people.
Which is more than enough.
Exactly. But today, as we are literally having this conversation, 318 million human beings are starving.
The statistics in this Feed Humanity transmission we are looking at are just jarring. I mean, in America alone, we throw away 80 billion pounds of food every single year.
It's hard to even conceptualize that number.
It is. Let me give you a visual for that, because a billion is just, it's a hard number to picture. That is enough food to fill 730 massive football stadiums, floor to ceiling, every single year.
Wow.
You could have a child skipping breakfast, going to school hungry, and they live just 10 minutes away from a restaurant that is going to casually toss 200 pounds of perfectly good, safe, edible food right into a dumpster that very same night.
And that proximity is the entire key to understanding the sources we are looking at today, including the campaign website and these two really fascinating GitHub repositories detailing a system called Project Helios.
So it's not about lacking the food.
Not at all. The gap between that dumpster and that hungry child isn't a lack of resources. The food is there. Hunger is simply a data problem.
A data problem.
Okay. More specifically, the sources argue it is a routing problem. And routing taking a chaotic, complex web of inputs and finding the absolute most efficient path between them is what artificial intelligence does better than absolutely anything else on Earth.
I want to talk about the cost of fixing this, because there is a number in these sources that frankly made me stop in my tracks. To end world hunger entirely across the globe, it would cost about $93 billion a year.
Which sounds like an astronomical amount of money.
Right, $93 billion sounds insane until you realize it is less than 1% of global military spending.
That really puts it in perspective.
But here's the stat that actually broke my brain. We spend more money globally on smartphone ringtones and like mobile game microtransactions than it would cost to ensure no human being on this planet ever starves.
It is a stunning comparison, isn't it? And it tells us immediately that funding was never the actual bottleneck here.
So what is the bottleneck?
Traditional charity. For all its incredibly good intentions and hard work, it fundamentally moves at human speed.
Gotcha.
It relies on manual coordination. You know, it operates in these localized regional silos.
Right. So you have a food bank in Memphis, and they literally cannot see that there is a massive, unexpected surplus of food sitting in Nashville. Just 200 miles away.
Exactly. They don't have the dashboard for it. They are completely blind to each other.
And I imagine that blindness costs a lot of money.
The overhead is staggering. When you donate money to these traditional systems, the sources point out that often only about 40 cents on the dollar actually translates into physical food reaching a person.
Wow. Just 40 cents.
Yeah. The rest is eaten up by the administrative overhead of running a manual disconnected system. The entire charitable infrastructure was built for a 20th century world that just didn't have real-time data or predictive algorithms.
Okay, let's unpack this. It is essentially like having a massive warehouse completely full of water, right? The water is there.
Yeah.
But you have absolutely no pipes to get that water to a burning building right down the street.
That's a great way to look at it.
The water exists, the fire exists, but the connection between the two is totally absent. And what drives me crazy is that I can pull out my phone and perfectly route a late night taco delivery via an app, tracking the driver to the exact second.
Right, we do it every day.
But we somehow can't figure out how to move a pallet of fresh bread across the street before it goes bad.
What's fascinating here is how the AI industry has approached this exact disconnect. The giants of Silicon Valley have poured billions and billions of dollars and incomprehensible amounts of computing power into training chatbots.
Chatbots to write slightly better marketing emails.
Exactly, or to generate pictures of cats riding skateboards. But $0 have gone into matching surplus food to hungry mouths. The technology exists, the food clearly exists, but until Project Helios, nobody had actually pointed the machine at the problem.
So we need to dive into how Helios proposes to fix this. Because they aren't just relying on an algorithm, they were relying on human behavior. It's called the Feed Humanity campaign.
Right, the hashtag.
Yeah. And what struck out to me is that the barrier to entry is almost laughably low. It requires absolutely no signups.
None at all.
You don't create an account. There are no donation portals asking for your credit card. It is a four-step process that takes 15 minutes and costs about $5.
It's incredibly accessible.
Step one, you buy a stranger a meal. Step two, you film or photograph the act. Step three, you post it on social media with the hashtag #FeedHumanity and your city name. And step four, you challenge three specific friends by name to do the exact same thing within 24 hours.
It is essentially the viral architecture of the Ice Bucket Challenge, updated for the AGI era of 2026.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But instead of pouring a bucket of ice water over your head to raise awareness for a disease, the actual substance of the challenge is a physical meal.
And the math behind challenging three specific people is the engine of the whole thing, right?
Exactly. It is not just posting, hey, everyone should do this. It is tagging three friends. If three people tag three people, and that repeats for just 20 iterations, the math scales to 3.48 billion people.
That's insane.
That is almost half the human population triggered by a single $5 sandwich.
Wait, hold on. I have to admit, when I was reading through that part of the campaign site, I bumped hard on step two.
The filming part.
Yeah. Filming yourself giving a sandwich to a stranger. It feels a little, I don't know, performative, right? Like, we are turning a genuinely charitable act into clout-chasing content for social media. It made me a bit uncomfortable.
That is a completely natural reaction, and a lot of people feel that initial friction.
Yeah.
But the sources are very explicit about why the system is designed exactly this way.
Okay, why?
The goal of this specific campaign is not quiet humility. The food is the action, yes, but the content, the video, or the photo is the proof.
True for who? The algorithm.
Yes. Every single post that includes that hashtag and the city name becomes a verifiable geolocated data point. It plots that specific meal on a global real-time map.
Oh, I see.
It proves to the AI and to the rest of the world that the action took place. It is designed to spark a massive chain reaction. And you simply cannot have a chain reaction in a vacuum. It has to be visible.
You need the spark to be seen to catch fire. I get that. So we have this viral human mechanic spreading across social media, getting millions of people involved and mapping out the need.
Right.
But how does the machine actually take over when we're talking about institutional food waste? Like, let's say a local BBQ restaurant has 40 leftover plates of food at the end of the night. How does a digital prompt turn into a physical delivery?
This is where we look at the AI dispatch engine, specifically the code housed in the main Helios repository. It is a real-time surplus-to-deficit matching engine that just runs in the background.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because the way this routing engine actually works, based on the code, it's basically like a high-stakes, hyper-local dating app.
A dating app for food?
Yes. But instead of matching two lonely people based on their hobbies, it is matching 40 leftover BBQ plates to a hungry shelter across town, and it has to make that perfect match before the food goes bad and ends up in a dumpster.
That is a surprisingly accurate analogy. If we look under the hood at the actual route.py file in the repository, the AI scores every single possible match in a given city based on four very specific heavily weighted parameters.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first is distance, which carries a 40% weight. The AI doesn't just draw a flat line, it uses something called the Haversine formula.
Wait, Haversine?
Yeah, that calculates the distance between two points on a sphere, accounting for the curvature of the Earth.
Wow.
So a restaurant 2 kilometers from a food bank scores near a perfect 1.0, but a potential match 200 kilometers away scores near zero because the logistics are too heavy.
So it is optimizing for physical reality, not just a map. Then you have the second parameter, perishability, which is weighted at 30%.
Right.
And this makes perfect sense. If a bakery has food that is going to expire in 2 hours, that is a highly urgent, high-priority situation compared to a warehouse that has canned goods that are shelf-stable for another 48 hours. Mm. the AI pushes the urgent food to the top of the queue.
Correct. The third parameter is the volume match, sitting at 20%. The AI actively wants to right-size the delivery to avoid secondary waste.
Right-size it. Meaning what, exactly?
If a local bakery has exactly 50 surplus bagels and a nearby shelter needs exactly 50 breakfasts, that scores perfectly.
Okay.
But if you try to route those 50 bagels to a massive downtown shelter that needs 200 meals, the AI actually penalizes that score.
Really? Why?
Because dropping off 50 meals for 200 people creates chaos and is an inefficient use of resources. It wants to find the exact right fit.
That makes total sense. And finally, dietary fit makes up the last 10%. It ensures that a shelter explicitly needing halal or kosher food actually receives halal or kosher food, and it manages allergy restrictions. And the experience for the volunteer who is actually making this happen is incredibly smooth. I was expecting some clunky corporate software, but they don't even have to go to an app store and download anything.
No, it's very lightweight.
They use what is called a progressive web app. It just works right in their phone's web browser, like a website that acts like an app.
Right.
They get a simple push notification. Pick up 40 plates at Broadway BBQ. Deliver 3.2 kilometers away. Except they hit yes, they do the physical driving, they drop it off, and the food is saved.
It is elegant in its simplicity for the user. But the true genius of Project Helios isn't just that it routes the food efficiently once. It is that the system constantly learns how to route it better tomorrow without anyone telling it how. And this brings us to the second GitHub repository in our stack, Helios Auto Research.
Yes, the auto research loop. For anyone who follows the AI space, you might recognize the inspiration here. There is a famous AI researcher named Andrej Karpathy.
Very well known in the field.
Right. He created a project where an AI agent autonomously researches how to build better neural networks. Well, the developer behind Helios literally forked, meaning they copied and modified Karpathy's project.
Right, but applied it differently.
Exactly. Instead of pointing it at training faster AI models, they pointed it at the logistics of feeding people.
It is the exact same autonomous research pattern, but with a profoundly different real-world target.
But I have to push back on this a bit, because I understand how an AI can do math perfectly in a vacuum. A computer is great at math, but the real world is incredibly messy.
It is.
People make mistakes. Let's say the AI dispatch engine perfectly routes those 50 bagels from the bakery to the shelter.
Right.
When the volunteer physically gets there, they look in the box and like, 8 of those bagels are rock hard. They are completely stale and inedible.
Right.
Doesn't that bad human data break the perfect routing algorithm?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that messy human reality you just described is actually the secret weapon of the auto research engine. Yeah, it doesn't break the system, it feeds the system. Let's look at the actual feedback loop. When the AI initially makes that match for the 50 bagels, it predicts a success score. Let's say, based on distance and volume, it predicts a score of 0.83 out of 1.0.
Okay, 0.83.
But then the volunteer arrives, counts the food, and logs the real messy data into their phone. 42 good bagels, 8 stale ones. The recipient at the shelter also logs their satisfaction.
So the AI is forced to recalculate based on physical reality, not just its own prediction.
Exactly that. The system recomputes the score using the ground truth. Maybe the actual success score, factoring in the stale food, is only a 0.71.
Got it.
That gap, the difference between the AI's predicted 0.83 and the actual 0.71, is called the error signal. It is the machine realizing it made a mistake.
And how does it fix it? Because the sources say it rewrites its own code, but how does the basic laptop actually do that safely?
The auto research agent takes that error signal and goes into a simulated environment. It runs over 200 experiments an hour.
200 an hour?
Yeah. It looks at the code and says, what if I penalize this specific bakery's inventory reports by 15%? It tweaks the math, and then it runs 1,000 historical food deliveries through that new tweaked formula.
Wow.
If the overall success rate goes up in the simulation, it automatically commits that new code to the live server. No human programmer is involved.
That is incredible.
And it does all of this on a standard laptop. No expensive cloud GPUs are required. It is constantly adjusting its own weights and formulas to improve its baseline Helios score, which the sources note currently sits at 0.7753.
That is wild. It learns that a specific bakery consistently overstates their inventory because they want to look good, so the AI automatically starts discounting their listings behind the scenes.
Because
Or it learns that a specific neighborhood has terrible traffic at 5 p.m. on Fridays, so it dynamically adjusts the Haversine distance penalty for that specific zip code at that specific time.
Yes.
It figures out the messy, chaotic realities of city logistics that no human programmer could ever anticipate or code by hand.
And it does it relentlessly, 24/7, getting slightly smarter with every single sandwich that gets delivered.
Which brings us to accessibility. What makes this so powerful is the grassroots deployment model. You do not need a billion-dollar server farm or a massive IT department to run this for your city.
Not at all.
Anyone listening to this right now can run a Helios node for their hometown for about $5 a month. It uses a basic Docker container, which is essentially just a self-contained digital box that runs on any computer, and a simple SQLite database, which is so small it could fit on a thumb drive.
Very lightweight.
And the developer even built it so you can plug in a free Google Gemini API key, and it will generate incredibly detailed personalized playbooks based on your exact zip code, your budget, and the time you have available to help.
The campaign is brilliant in how it breaks participation down into six distinct tiers, ensuring absolutely anyone, regardless of their resources, can get involved.
Break those tiers down for us.
Sure. Tier one is the individual. That is the $5 15-minute hashtag challenge we talked about earlier.
Right.
Then it scales up logically. Tier two is the crew, getting a group of friends together to manage a small area. Tier three is the organizer, someone actively partnering with a local food bank to integrate the software.
Makes sense.
Tier four is small businesses, asking local cafes and restaurants to just agree to donate their surplus at closing time instead of locking the dumpster. Tier five is for corporations to match those donations with logistics funding. And finally, you reach the top of the pyramid. Tier six, the tech giant.
So what does this all mean? We arrive at this incredibly audacious challenge that Project Helios has leveled directly at the billionaires who just built AGI. The Jensens, the Sams, the Elons, the Marks of the world.
The architects of the current tech era?
Yeah. The transmission essentially looks them in the eye and says, you built me. You told the world for a decade that I would benefit humanity. Now point me at something that actually matters.
The strategic design of this challenge is a masterclass. The campaign isn't just asking these tech giants for a generic PR statement or a one-time charitable grant.
No, it's very specific.
Very. The Tier 6 playbook lays out exactly, technically, what big tech needs to contribute to scale this routing engine globally. First, compute. Google, Microsoft, Amazon, they need to donate the cloud server credits to run this routing engine at a massive global scale so it doesn't have to run on laptops forever.
Right. Eventually, it outgrows the laptop.
Exactly. Second, data. They need data partnerships with organizations like 211.org to map every single food resource, shelter, and soup kitchen in the country accurately.
Because right now, Helios is scraping by on free Google Maps data, which is notoriously thin or outdated in rural areas.
Oh.
The AI needs better eyes.
Precisely. Third is logistics. Amazon has massive fleets of delivery trucks. Uber and DoorDash have hundreds of thousands of drivers and proprietary routing algorithms.
And Helios needs access to that.
Right. Helios needs those live inventory feeds and access to physical vehicles when volunteers aren't enough. Fourth, platform reach. Meta, TikTok, X, their algorithm engineers can make the Feed Humanity hashtag reach a billion people overnight with one tiny tweak to their code.
Just flip a switch.
Yep. And finally, financial rails. Stripe, PayPal, they can integrate instant zero-fee payments so corporate pledges immediately turn into routed food logistics.
It's an open-source trap. That is the most brilliant part to me. The whole project is MIT licensed, which means it belongs to everyone. Nobody owns it.
Right.
The first tech giant to step up, donate their infrastructure, and deploy this gets to own the greatest headline of the century. We proved AGI feeds people.
And the flip side of that trap is equally powerful. Everyone who sits out, every CEO who ignores the challenge, will be forced to explain to the public why they had the most powerful intelligence in human history sitting in their data centers, and they chose to do absolutely nothing while people starved in the shadows of their own corporate headquarters.
It completely shifts the cultural narrative from a passive, what can AI do, to an active, demanding, who does AI actually serve?
Exactly.
And that brings us to the ultimate philosophy of Project Helios, which is this permanent, necessary division of labor. AI handles the complex math. It calculates the distances, the decay rates, the volume matching. It untangles the massive logistical nightmare of citywide food waste.
Because it's better at it than we are.
Right. But humans. Humans do the physical work. We move the food. We look the stranger in the eye. We build the community trust. AI can't do that.
And importantly, it shouldn't do that. The machine optimizes the routing. Humans provide the care. That split, that partnership, is exactly how this level of technology should be integrated into our society going forward.
I want to speak directly to you, the listener, right now. It is very easy to feel completely powerless when we talk about things like artificial general intelligence or billions of pounds of institutional waste or global supply chain logistics.
It can be overwhelming.
It really can. But the power you hold in this specific moment is immense. The barrier to entry to fix this isn't a billion-dollar grant or a degree in computer science. It is $5, 15 minutes of your time, and the willingness to physically hand someone a meal.
Yeah.
You are the spark that the machine needs to start the routing. The network is built. It's just waiting for you to turn it on.
This raises an important question. If an open source AI running without traditional funding, without a corporate backer, on a basic consumer laptop, can successfully rewrite its own code 200 times an hour to untangle the massive chaotic logistics of citywide food waste,
right?
What other catastrophic global inefficiencies are we completely misunderstanding? Think about housing and vacant properties.
Oh, wow.
Think about the distribution of critical medical supplies during a shortage. Think about disaster relief deployment. What else is simply waiting for us to stop treating it as an unsolvable resource problem and start treating it as a routing problem?
We have built the supercomputer. It is sitting right there, humming in the data centers. It is time we stopped letting it play tic-tac-toe and finally asked it to help us put out the fire.